Missed an episode of your favorite podcast? Choose from over a decade of content in our archives. Not just the latest episode. All free at GCNlive.com.
Welcome to the Cortland Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Cortland Economics Report.
Welcome in. You are listening to the weekend edition of the Cortland Economics Report. We thank everybody for listening in. If you want to weigh in on our forum, if you want to reach Al and I directly, please go on our website, www.kereport.com. We have daily editorials on the markets, politics, and we also have a number of comments that we try to at least address, but for sure we read every day. That being said, let's kick off our show here, Al, with Dan Oliver.
As you said, Corey, we're starting off with Dan Oliver right now. We're going to continue our discussion with Dan in the second segment, along with our regular commentator, Doc Richard Postma. Dan, you made an interesting comment when you were chatting with Corey and I off mic, and your comment was, you know, the entire world is melting down right now, yet in spite of that, the U.S. market continues to go up. What are your comments on that?
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing to me when you realize that the stock market in the United States is basically based upon credit. I mean, banks give people money against assets. They use their money to go buy stocks, and that makes stocks go higher, which gives them more collateral, so they can borrow more money to buy more stocks. That's been the story of every stock market boom since the stock markets began. And that story played out in much greater magnitude in China, of course, where they're less used to stock markets, don't have the same history we have, don't have the same controls we have on credit. And so you have the stories of these Chinese farmers abandoning their fields, taking their entire life savings, putting it in the market, and doubling it in a very short period of time. And so they think to themselves, why would I waste my time farming when I can make so much money in the market? And the problem then, of course, is that when the market then crashes, and they lose not just the profit but their capital, and they see all of the fruits of their labor disappear virtually overnight, you get huge amounts of social instability. And that's what's happening in China right now. You've got the whole country over there frozen as they watch this market melt down. You have the government threatening to arrest short sellers as if they're the problem. And you also have stocks, over 1,000 stocks now, have halted trading. So you can't even get a quote on them. And that creates an even bigger problem because apparently there are over $150 billion of derivatives that have been written on these positions that no longer trade, so no one has an idea how to evaluate these derivatives. And I was interested that Paul Singer, the famous hedge fund manager, was in New York yesterday, and his comment was that that is a much bigger sum than the subprime crisis that started the crisis of 2007. As I look around the world, in China, you have the Greek banks close, and of course, even if they reopen, you're probably going to have haircuts anyway. You have in Italy, non-performing loans have reached a record high. In this country and elsewhere in the oil space, it's been very interesting. Oil collapsed, and yet there were very few defaults have been so far in the oil space. And the reason, of course, is that they were all hedged out. But the Wall Street Journal reported this week that U.S. regulators are already becoming concerned by banks being over-levered to oil producers. So when those hedges end, which they will in the next few months, all of a sudden you will start seeing great losses in that space and banks taking great losses. And when the banks have giant holes in their balance sheets, they have no choice but to pull back on their debt issuance. And that feeds directly into markets. And so I think we're entering an extremely dangerous, turbulent period. And I find it amusing that as this is all going around the globe, all these problems, you have Janet Yellen saying that the Fed's going to raise interest rates this year. They've been saying that since 2009. It hasn't been true ever. This year was supposed to be finally the year in April, then it was June, then it was September, now it's before the year end. I don't think they'll ever raise rates. I think before they get there, the whole market and the economy is going to collapse.
Now, Dan, what is interesting, I find, is when you take a step back from everything, the central banks play such a crucial role in the markets, and the Fed is almost the central bank doing the least right now. That being said, obviously interest rates are still near zero, but you look in Europe and interest rates are, well, under zero in negative terms for the deposit rate. China, interest rates are all over the map, plus they are printing money and also enacting insane rules and halting large amounts of stock to stop collapses. So the Fed seems to potentially have a few more tricks up their sleeve, but it would just be nice if these markets would move in a direction that could, I guess, be more beneficial for everybody rather than having to manipulate behind the scenes what's going on, don't you say?
Well, the thesis for buying the dollar, the thesis for buying the stock market is that the U.S. is the best at that lot. And that's probably true. I think U.S. banks are probably better off than the banks in Europe, which have much more leverage and much more shaky assets, and especially the banks in China, which, of course, are full of non-performing assets. And all these cities they built with no one in them back a lot of these deposits, a lot of these assets. And so, of course, we know those are worthless because no one's living in them. So we know those banks are going to blow up. And then the question becomes, who lent those banks money and so on and so forth. So what we're going to find out, of course, is, as we always find out, is that how integrated is the global financial system when banks are toppling over, who lent them money? And it's the nature of the fracture of your bank system. You know, when you make a deposit to a bank of $100, they lend me $1,000. And so if I lose even a tiny bit of that money, the bank's wiped out. And so you don't need to have the U.S. banks may be the best of a bad lot, but they're still massively over-levered than what a normal economy should have. And so I think that we will discover that the U.S. is not immune to these problems. I mean, think about a few years ago, the whole story was that the Chinese demand was going to pull the rest of the world out of the doldrums. Well, now the Chinese collapsing. What's going to happen to all the commodity producers? What's going to happen to all the banks, the Western banks that lent money to Western commodity producers ad infinitum? So I think that the U.S. is not an island. It's a global economy, especially in financial terms, especially in the derivatives market. And when one blows up, it'll quickly spread to the others.
Any idea, Dan, in terms of time frame on when this could happen?
Gosh, that's a great question. I mean, you know, I think the answer is no one really knows. I mean, one of the historical analogies I like to talk about is when Credit Anstalt collapsed in May of 1931. And it took about 2 months for that collapse to seep into Germany, and then it took about another 2 months for it to force Britain off the pound, and then the U.S. market collapsed. So it was sort of a six-month rolling process. And if you look back at 2007, subprime started blowing up in the middle of 2007, and the markets didn't melt down until mid-2008, so it took about a year. Another thing that Paul Singer has been talking about, I think he's very good on this topic, is that everyone, all the traders, all the investors, the big banking houses, the big hedge funds, who lived through 2008, it left a huge mark on them. They don't want to be the last guy out the door. And the other thing that the government has done to make the system even more brittle is that in the past, for a bank to go bankrupt, it was like any other company. First, they lost all their money, and then you had creditors complain, and they would file they would go for insolvency, and their loans would halt. So it was a process that took a long time. Now, the FDIC has been given power to shut these banks down within 48 hours. So what that means is that if you're a trader, if you're a counterparty to one of these banks, and you get the slightest whiff that they're in trouble, right? You're going to pull your creditors immediately. And that's what happened to Bear Stearns. That's why it blew up. And Lehman Brothers, one day, their counterparts just said, hey, we're not really lending you money tonight. And because all these banks survive and overrun funds, they collapse immediately. So I think that the sophistication of current players, the speed at which information travels today, the missteps that the authorities have taken to make the system more brittle, suggests to me that the end would come very swiftly. In other words, that the market won't telegraph it the way it has in the past. Just one day, it'll be a very different world than it was the day before.
Scary thoughts there, Dan. We're going to bring you back on for the next segment with Doc. Everyone stick around. We're going to be right back.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Independently leading the way for the nation. Compelling talk for every political persuasion. We are GCN.
Identity theft is real. So real, it could be making you its next victim right now. At the gas pump, bank, or store where you shop with your credit card, bad guys with RFID scanners can peer into your wallet or purse from a short distance away, stealing information from your RFID-enabled credit or debit cards, passports, room keys, and ID cards without you even knowing it. Stop the bad guys now with an RFID-blocking wallet from ID Stronghold. ID Stronghold founded the entire RFID blocking industry over 10 years ago. Their stylish sleeves, clutch purses, and wallets are shielded throughout. The best you can buy at great pricing, as low as $14.99. Don't wait until your wallet needs replacing. Protect your identity now. Click IDStronghold.com or call 1-800-610-2770. That's 1-800-610-2770. ID Stronghold, the original RFID wallet company.
It's very easy to be a criminal. All you need to burglarize a home is one simple household tool, a pair of scissors. If your home security system can be compromised by a criminal using scissors, then you're making it easy for them. Almost every home security system, even those sold by big-name companies, has a weakness: the phone line. You shell out $1,500, get locked into a long-term contract, and think you're safe. But a burglar can destroy your alarm in seconds with one snip. And when a burglar cuts your phone line, you're defenseless. Simply Safe Home Security is the smarter choice. Built by Harvard engineers, Simply Safe uses a wireless connection to call the cops. Scissors can't cut it. And that means your home stays safe. 24/7 professional monitoring is under $15 a month with no contract. Simply Safe Home Security keeps you safer than the other guys for half the cost. Protect your home with the alarm you can trust. Simply Safe. Go to SimplySafeDefense.com now for an exclusive 10% offer. That's SimplySafeDefense.com.
The Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercial, just like the one you're listening to right now. No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Usually, the older one gets, the less you are able to absorb amino acids and the less you are able to repair the 100 trillion cells of your body. As a result, you'll have less energy, your tissues will shrink, and you'll become wrinkled. An older person will typically injure more easily and heal more slowly. Not fun. However, if you could consume a protein powder that is easier to absorb, then you may be able to gain back some strength, muscle, and speed of recovery. One World Whey is a highly digestible whey protein powder that may be the perfect answer for you.
My name is Errol. I'm 74 years old. You know, the taste of One World Whey is amazing. I play pickleball, and since taking One World Whey and your trace mineral supplement, I have more energy and recover faster from my working out. I used to take another grass-fed whey protein powder, but now I'm getting much better results using One World Whey.
Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Alrighty, welcome back. We're here to talk a little bit more about markets, and we're chatting again with Dan Oliver and our friend Doc Postma. Talking about market direction right now, you know, in the last segment, Dan, we were talking with you about how the world is imploding and yet the U.S. markets continue to go up. Why do you think that's the case? We'll start with you, Doc.
Well, Al, because I think people are still believing that the economy is okay. although we're starting to see some fundamentals that are starting to tell us that it isn't. As long as you've got that sentiment going on, when you have a long bull market, it'll continue to drive it a little bit until there starts to seep into the mind some doubt. And we're starting to see that with the consumer sentiment right now. And what's interesting is even though oil has dropped considerably and gas prices are better, consumer sentiment is dropping, retail sales are dropping. And I think what you're starting to get is people are getting more uneasy right now. And they're starting to realize that this thing isn't as good as it was held up to be. And once that starts to change, then I don't care what the Fed does. I think we finally have the top in this market, which is topping right now, and then we start moving down.
You know, Dan, Doc brought up some interesting points there. The fact of retail sales dropping, consumer sentiment has been quite high throughout the year, but then we also had negative GDP in the first quarter. But yet, if we look at the S&P and Dow right now after a good run this week, they're up for the year. Not up a whole lot, though. It's been a very back-and-forth type of year. Do you think that this is more of a topping process that is just taking a long time because there's a lack of a lot of individual investors in the markets and just a whole lot of big trading houses playing these things?
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with Doc. I mean, it seems to me that the business cycle is rolling over. I mean, we've had this six-year so-called expansion. If you look at business profits, they're topping out or even declining. When you have a credit-driven market, you need it to keep increasing at a certain rate to make sure that everyone in the market who's borrowed money to be in it can make their interest payments and stay in the market. I mean, I'm still aghast that, I mean, when you turn on CNBC and you have people recommending that investors go borrow money against their cars so they can put it in the market. I mean, it's just absolutely insane, but that's what people are doing. Auto loans are one of the big success stories in the credit market right now. So when the market stops going up, then you start getting people getting nervous, and when markets are going down, and now your car is on the line, right? People get very jittery. So I think we are in a topping pattern. The acceleration higher has stopped. In other words, the market is in this sort of topping. It's not going up at an accelerating pace, and I think that presages a rather steep decline.
Now, that's an interesting phenomenon that you brought up. I have not heard in the U.S. anyway, I know it was happening in China, but I haven't heard in the United States that people are borrowing against their cars and other types of collateral to get into the market. Were you referring to the United States?
That was on CNBC just a couple of months ago. So someone actually recommending investors do this. And Experian reported recently that the average car loan in the fourth quarter of last year was 130% of the value of the car. So, I mean, think about that. You go into your car, they lend you more money than that, and your car is a rapidly depreciating asset. So the other thing a friend of mine put me on to, which I didn't know about till this week, are these things called peer-to-peer loans. Are you familiar with these?
Yeah,
you sign up and you agree to, you know, so individuals lend money to each other, and there's this box where you say, well, how much do you want to borrow? And the numbers were between 2,000 and 30,000. And then, you know, what's the purpose of it? And the purposes range from household expenses to vacations to special occasions. I mean, it's insane. Right? People are lending each other money to go on vacation. So I think when you get to that level of credit saturation, it tells us there's really no more credit to be squeezed out of the economy. And when credit dries up, then no one can buy financialized assets. And so I think that's why you're seeing the market start to top. And unless the Fed really takes the migrating overgear, which I think they won't save a crisis, I think the market really is going to have a hard time going any higher.
Now, Doc, I want to throw it over to you and chat about the U.S. dollar, because that continues to move upward. And if you want to price the U.S. dollar simply in terms of what other countries are doing, it actually makes sense that the U.S. dollar is moving up simply because of the issues over in Greece and now the ECB coming out and essentially extending more loans to them, and then the continued issues over in China. What's your forecast for the U.S. dollar right now?
On short term, Corey, based on my technicals, I think we move up a little bit more. and then we'll get a correction after that, and then we'll see what happens. But on the weekly charts, mostly, it still looks like we're in a trading range until we break out of that, and it's going to be a while before I believe we break out of it. And we could go higher then, but right now there's a little bit more pressure to the upside, and then I think we pull back here, and then we'll see what happens after that.
Dan, I got a question for you listening to what Doc just said right now. My question is, what the hell ever happened to economic fundamentals?
That's a great question. I mean, go ask Jenny Yellen that. Steve Lonergan, who runs the FixTheDollar.com campaign, when I actually got a meeting with Janet Yellen a few months ago, and he went down with a delegation of folks to talk with the gold standard, and she countered that she had 200 economists who think about what money is every day. And I love that story because Aristotle figured it out 2,500 years ago what money is, and the guys at the Fed are still trying to figure it out. And they have no idea. I mean, the Keynesian economic model doesn't work. The idea of stimulus, the sugar highs, and then you have to pay for it later. And of course, when the bill comes, all they want to do is have more stimulus. So it's a iterative process, recursive process that's very destructive. And you see it happening in China right now, where their economic model is a disaster. What are they doing? They're doubling down. They're threatening to arrest short sellers, and they're stimulating the market. And that'll happen here too. So the fundamental, I think, have nothing to do with what's happening. So they're going to keep printing money or do what they have to do to prevent liquidating all the malinvestments that they have created over the past decades.
Well, that's something we've been talking about on this show for a long time, Corey. You know, how fundamentals just, they're not playing in the game right now.
Well, and the biggest problem is that these central banks, and I've said it for a while, continue to have so much power and ability to move these markets that nothing corrects naturally anymore, and people aren't freely trading these markets because you need.
Yeah,
to
but it will. The markets are stronger than power, than political power. So you're absolutely correct. But all it does is delays the correction, doesn't prevent it, and it makes it much, much worse. I mean, the fire service figured out a long time ago that to try to avoid any forest fires, of course, is a bad idea, because what happened was that when the fires came, they were much, much bigger. Now they have controlled fires, right? The Fed hasn't learned that lesson yet. They stamp out every single attempt at liquidation of malinvestments, and the result is you get a huge proliferation of them, and one day they'll all burn down at once, and that's when you get these horrific crashes that one day will overpower the Fed, and that's a very scary prospect.
So look what we have to look forward to. Ladies and gentlemen, stick around. We're going to be right back.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Great minds think alike. The network for the independent minded. The Genesis Communications Network. GCN.
We the People grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Affordable health insurance was the promise of Obamacare, but for many, the government mandate caused more problems than it solved. And I want to tell you about a truly affordable alternative, Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare bypasses doctor and hospital panels, giving you the freedom to choose. 100% coverage up to $1 million per year per occurrence, who includes dental, vision, pharmacy, and holistic care. Call 1-800-714-6993. 1-800-714-6993. 1-800-714-6993 today.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey Guy.
Hi, Peter Vaccaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com, ParanormalDate.com, and use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you like.
Did you know that drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining high energy and vibrant health? Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops, available only at AlkaVision.com, combine a unique formula of only the most alkaline minerals. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops alkalize your water, ridding the body of harmful toxins, and helps you regain health and energy. Alkalizing your water by simply adding 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps the body rid itself of acidic waste, increases oxygen content, and raises the pH of your body to healthy levels. And bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com today.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. You are continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the Corlin Economics Report. Alan and myself are joined by Axel Merck of Merck Investments. Axel, we enjoy bringing you on the show to chat about precious metals and currencies. We're going to focus on precious metals today simply because of the announcement by China yesterday on Friday, July 17th. Regarding their gold reserves, there were a lot of gold bugs, and I'd just even say mainstream media pundits thinking that China would, when they finally did release some gold numbers, announce much higher numbers than we got. The last time China announced any sort of gold holdings was back in June of 2009, so 6 years ago, and the announcement yesterday of holdings of 1,658 tons of gold was only up 57% from that number 6 years ago that they released. Can we get some comments from you on, first of all, your initial reaction as to the announcement and how you think this will all continue to play out in the markets, because we did see gold drop on Friday?
Well, sure. I mean, many possible interpretations here. One of them is simply that they want to be transparent and show that they're moving in the direction of transparency, market openness, when their colleagues over on the stock market side are doing the exact opposite. So maybe that's just that. Secondly, we never know whether there are some other holdings in addition that are not exactly on the central bank balance sheet, but somewhere else. More importantly, though, the Chinese have over time been very prudent players in the market. They don't exactly tell you when they buy. They might buy on dips. And also, they are very cognizant of being a market mover if they were too aggressive. And so they're taking their time. The important thing is here that they're building their position, and that the precious metals in general are moving eastward. And if nothing else, that if they are serious about the gold holdings as part of their reserves, that there's still a lot of room on the upside to continue building it. But I'm not in the camp, as some are, that the Chinese want to move to a gold standard and back their currency fully by gold. And the, for the very simple reason is the same reason why no other government does it, is because they want to be able to freely spend. And nowadays it seems they want to spend it on the stock market. But they want to have it. They want to have a global reserve currency. They want to have the flexibility as well. And so they're building it. And like everything else they do it at a very slow Chinese pace.
Well, actually, I think that's the important thing to realize, is that these people that came out saying that China would have 5,000 tons or 10,000 tons, that's not the Chinese way, and that was overblown in many ways. It was a narrative that some pundits wanted to hang their hats on and say that gold needed to rise because of this, but the fact of the matter is China does continue to grow their gold holdings, and it is going to take a long time to get up to some of the levels that we see in the U.S. with what the U.S. claims to hold, correct?
Well, I mean, the important thing is transparency, and when one has to start to build some trust in some numbers we get around the world, there's plenty of room, obviously, for conspiracy theories at any stage along the way. But ultimately, I mean, the price of gold moves when some people buy and sell, not because with hindsight they announce that they did this or that. I mean, that might have a shock and awe effect when some hedge fund manager makes an announcement. But ultimately, of course, the supply and demand is affected during the buying, and the price actually speaks for itself, that gold has been doing okay, but been moving sideways of late, again a tad down. The relevant thing here is that an up-and-coming nation on the global scene is endorsing gold, whereas the governments that have spent too much over the years are thinking about selling it. So that's just what always happens in history, and so now we'll have to see what's going to happen going forward. But it's my impression that the Chinese are going to continue to be a net buyer of gold, and that's overall going to be supportive for the price of gold.
It's really interesting how simple all of this really is if you just look at it logically. Looking at something else logically, Axel, I got a question for you. There's a lot of turbulence going on right now in the Chinese stock market. What are your comments on that?
Well, I mean, we had our tulip mania in the Netherlands, and the Chinese are allowed to have their own mania. And, I mean, the one surprising thing is I just mentioned earlier that the Chinese have been fairly prudent. In fact, as critical as one might want to be on the regime, when it comes to market-oriented thinking, while they have been moving at a glacial pace, they've been moving in the right direction. And clearly what they're doing in the stock market is taking them back quite a bit. It's just dumb to do the sort of interference in the market they do. They are ruining the balance sheets of good brokerage firms in an effort to try to support these prices. It just doesn't make any sense at all. But they got to go through that. It's a learning process. And at the end of the day, hopefully they learn something. They'll learn something over time, because ultimately the markets will win in these things. Linking it though to precious metals, do keep in mind that as investors had to liquidate portfolios, they had to liquidate whatever they had access to. And they don't own many foreign stocks, but they did have access to buying commodities. And so the price of gold did have a little bit of a dampener, in my view anyway, because of the liquidation selling. And conversely, because the government is interfering, that downward pressure is something that's not something that is instantaneous, as if we're in a sudden crash, but can drag out a little bit because of the government's efforts to kind of slow the bursting of that bubble.
Well, and that's always been one of the concerns that I've had with gold, is that it is a liquid market, in the fact that when people do need to sell, whether it's for short coverings or what have you, they usually look to gold, at least in some percentage of their selling, to do that. And that's why gold seems to get hit. Let's tie this all together, Axel, with what's going on in China. As Al said, the markets are going down. The markets have had a pretty severe drop, and then a lot of intervention has come in there. The new announcement of gold holdings. All of this, people are contributing and at least relating to a future IMF announcement on the special drawing rights, the SDR basket. Do you think that this impacts what the IMF will do, whether to include the yuan or not?
I would hope it does. Simply put, I mean, China is very willing to move into glacial space, so I don't think anybody else should rush either. I've no doubt that the renminbi will be part of the SDRs in a few years. I have my doubts that it's going to happen this year. If for no other reason, I would think that it would be most helpful if the capital account in China were to open up, and that's going to take a few years. I know technically that's not necessary, and maybe the IMF wants to kind of help out China, but I would think that it does keep the pressure up on reform to make it wait a little bit longer. But conversely, of course, the announcement of the gold holdings might well be a step that the IMF behind the scenes said, well, you got to be a little more transparent with these items if you want to be ready. So net, I would say I am working with the assumption that the renminbi is going to be part of the SDR. Whether it's going to happen this year, I don't know.
Which is a tough call to make, obviously, Axel. I don't think anybody can say for sure. But the fact of the matter is, this is all having an impact right now on the gold market. Real quick, Axel, just explain a little bit about what your firm does for some of the new stations that have picked us up recently.
Well, sure. If we start with China, the one thing we do is we have an Asian currency fund that was in the renminbi. It's kind of a levered play on the renminbi. We do have a couple of currency mutual funds, and then we also have a gold trust that invests in physical gold. And you can learn about what we do at MerckInvestments.com.
You know, Axel, I've known you for an awful long time. I have a lot of respect for you. You are, in my opinion, one of the best fund managers out there. You've been doing this now with Merck Investments down in the Lower Peninsula area, just south of San Francisco, for about 15 or 20 years, if I'm not mistaken. I have to tell you, if you folks want to find out a little bit more about Merck Investments, simply go to our sites section, our preferred sites section, for lack of better terms. You can find out all about what Axel does there. This guy is a good guy, and I have to tell you, this is not an advertisement. I've known him for quite some time, and I have nothing but respect for Axel and his abilities. Axel, thanks, man.
Independently leading the way for the nation. Compelling talk for every political persuasion. We are GCN.
Identity theft is real. So real, it could be making you its next victim right now. At the gas pump, bank, or store where you shop with your credit card, bad guys with RFID scanners can peer into your wallet or purse from a short distance away, stealing information from your RFID-enabled credit or debit cards, passports, room keys, and ID cards without you even knowing it. Stop the bad guys now with an RFID-blocking wallet from ID Stronghold. ID Stronghold founded the entire RFID blocking industry over 10 years ago. Their stylish sleeves, clutch purses, and wallets are shielded throughout. The best you can buy at great pricing, as low as $14.99. Don't wait until your wallet needs replacing. Protect your identity now. Click IDStronghold.com or call 1-800-610-2770. That's 1-800-610-2770. ID Stronghold, the original RFID wallet company.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
Hey neighbor, what are you doing digging? You had a heart attack last year.
Oh, I know. I was told no more hard labor.
Then why are you digging?
Well, I've been taking ExtendoVite. It's been approved to help my heart.
ExtendoVite? Is that a new drug?
No, not a drug. It's more like an herbal combination made from garlic and cayenne.
Herbal? How can that help?
Well, actually, we've taken herbs for thousands of years. Extendivite is doing the job for me.
Does your doctor know about Extendivite?
Yeah, my doctor knows, and he said it seems to be working for you, so don't stop taking it. I feel great taking Extendivite. I don't want to stop.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
As if chlorine in our water weren't bad enough, now they're adding ammonia?
It's true. Some municipalities are now adding ammonia plus chlorine to your water supply. It's a disinfectant called chloramine. But with a trusted Big Berkey water filter, you can keep chloramine out of your water. New NSF EPA certified lab tests show EPA Berkey water filters remove chloramines, pharmaceuticals, BPA, pesticides, bacteria and viruses, all forms of fluoride, and much more. Big Berkey water filters are the original and most trusted on the market. The gold standard in water purification. And our filters last for years at less than 2 cents per gallon. Big Berkey, the one that's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get your Big Berkey today. Call 1-877-99-BERKEY or click BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
Here to wrap up the first hour of the weekend edition of the Coral Economics Report. We have Gary Christensen on the line with us right now. Gary is a newsletter writer who Corey and I have gotten to know in the past year or so. He writes primarily about precious metals. His background is in accounting, and we happen to value his opinion. A lot of people sometimes don't agree with Gary, but, you know, our philosophy in this particular program is you have to listen to everybody, because there is a whole lot of truth in everybody's opinion, for lack of better terms. The only way you really get to understand the total picture is if you listen, get all the input that you can on a specific subject. Gary, you have been writing a lot recently about silver. What are your comments about silver right now?
Well, in quick summary, I would say that silver is undervalued, and that's an opinion. Looking back at the price in April 2011, 4 years ago, it was almost $50. Today it's at $15 roughly, and to me that's a huge discount. But the question of overvalued, undervalued is feels like an opinion until you can put some data to it. So I tried to put some data to it. And one of the things in one of the articles I put out, Silver Pretty, Silver Ugly, that I used to put data on it was the silver to the national debt ratio. So I just graphed the ratio of silver to the national debt. And if you look at the graph, you'll see that it shows a low in the vicinity of 2001, which is about what you'd expect, because silver bottomed at $4.01 then. And then the ratio goes up. And then it comes back down to now at slightly higher than the 2001 number. In other words, national debt has been increasing exponentially, roughly 9% a year since the year 1913, roughly 10% a year under the last administration since October 1 of 2008. And if you look at that 10% a year exponential rate of increase, which is money in circulation as a rough proxy, silver matches it very roughly, but now it's at the low end of the ratio. It's the low end of the scale. The other thing that I think is very telling about silver is if you put silver on a log scale, and I put that in my chart here, you can see that silver bottomed in 2001, and then you run a line up to the 2011 peak, and that's an exponential rise. It's a straight line on a log scale chart. The line just goes right up. Then you look at the rest of that chart, and you see that in 1995, we had a major silver low. 2001, we had a major silver low. 2008, we had a major silver low. And right now, 2015, we have a major silver low. And if you look at those lows, if you put them 81 months apart, you see that 81 months apart tracks on those lows pretty well. Now, are cycles any good? You know, I don't know. I just happen to think that they're worth looking at, but don't trade on them. But to me, the ratios between silver and the S&P, silver and the national debt, silver and gold, and the retracement that silver's had since April 2011, all tell me that silver is low right now and that silver is likely to increase. Now, whether that's next week or next month, I always say ask the high-frequency traders and the central banks because they seem to control the short term. But in the long term, I think silver has a lot of upside to go. Does that make sense so far?
Yeah, it definitely does, Gary. And I just want to throw one little caveat here at you, and that is the argument that silver is almost reacting more like an industrial metal right now. And with slowdowns in China and just a general kind of deflationary trend that we're in, that is one reason why silver could potentially continue to be almost depressed in price. Could it not?
Wouldn't argue with you a bit. And let's take that same concept, which I think is very accurate, and put numbers to it. Take the price of crude oil and silver and plot them on the same chart on a log scale going back 40 or 50 years, and you'll see that crude oil and silver more or less match each other in price on a log scale chart going back a long time. Crude oil's way down right now. I mean, it's down over 50% from its peak just about a year ago. And so is silver. Silver's way down. They're both industrial uses. They show slowing economies. There's also other issues, but they show slowing economies. So those two fit together. But unless we're anticipating the economy staying really weak and low for a long period of time, they're at the low end of their cycles, the low end of their ratios, and that makes me think that, yes, they might be down for a while longer, but I still think that we can't underestimate the impact of central bank money printing trying to drive the deflationary forces out of our economy and push prices up. I mean, the Federal Reserve is on record saying they want to create inflation, and I depend upon the Federal Reserve to create inflation and to print lots and lots of money. And I think ultimately they have the capacity to make that happen. And that seems to me like we should expect that to continue. I mean, they've got a 100-year record of successfully devaluing the currency. I don't expect that to change.
The first quarter CPI numbers came out yesterday, Friday, and interestingly enough, inflation was up according to the Consumer Price Index. It was up 0.3%, yet precious metals behaved very, very poorly yesterday. What do you think about that?
Well, I think that's a daily interaction, and I've given up trying to figure out how silver correlates with the news on a daily basis or what it means, what moves mean on a daily basis, either up or down, because I just don't believe I can look at the prices of silver and gold particularly, especially silver, but a lot of the prices of other markets and not say, how do I quantify the influence of central banks moving into the market? How do I quantify the influence of high-frequency trading? And those influences, in my opinion, can easily overwhelm the news-related influences of, say, the CPI going up or the CPI going down. So I can't pay much attention to that CPI. I understand what you're saying, but I'm not sure that that's a very relevant issue in today's market environment.
Now, Gary, I want to finish off this interview by chatting about your most recent post entitled Take the Low Risk Road. What you do in this post is compare the increasing S&P to gold and silver. You want to elaborate on what you think is happening here?
Well, sure. And what I did was, in other articles, I have related the ratio of silver to the S&P, the relation of gold to the S&P. In this particular article, I took the XAU, which is the gold stock index. But it's all essentially the same information because gold and silver have been hammered for the last 4 years, and the XAU has been hammered even deeper. The ratio shows that we are at roughly 14-year lows between the XAU and gold. The S&P is quite high, and I can quantify that with measurements and various indicators and so forth. A lot of people are talking about the S&P being very high by any other metric that you want to do, whether it's PE ratios or CapEx or any of those sorts of things. To me, I look at the ratio with the XAU or gold and silver, and it just looks to me like we've had a very strong push into the S&P and a very strong push away from gold and silver, away from crude oil, away from commodities, and I think that's about to reverse. Now, when I say about to reverse, I don't mean today or tomorrow or next week, although that's possible. I just think that in the big picture, the pendulum is about to swing back.
Why do you say that?
Well, I go back to the look at the S&P, and I see a major peak in 2000, a major peak in 2007, a major peak in 2015. Draw lines up there on a log scale chart, and you can see that the S&P goes up for a number of years, and then it comes back down. Goes up for a number of years and comes back down. Goes up for a number of years, and that's where we're at right now in 2015. What out there suggests that earnings should continue being strong, that the S&P should continue rising? I only see one major argument that says the S&P should continue rising, and that is continued money printing and continued levitation by the central banks that are pushing money into there with a zero interest rate policy, and the fact that there are very few other opportunities for investors, not getting anything in the bond market, so people push their money into the stock market. If that's the only argument for why the S&P should continue, and that's the only one I see as relevant, then to me, the S&P is overvalued and ready to reverse downward. And at the time when it does that, all hell might break loose, and at that point, people might decide they need to move some of their money into precious metals.
Well, Garrett, always enjoy chatting with you. I think that that is a good aspect that you just brought up there, and that being that really how much more can these conventional markets continue to increase? Seems like you're buying near a top. That being said, the markets have continued to move upwards, so we will need to keep a close eye on that, and it might be a good time to slowly accumulate some precious metals, but you need to have the belief that some things are going to change and investors are going to come back into these precious metals. Gary, thanks for your time.
Thank you.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state in back taxes, you know they'll never stop coming after you. With bank levies, wage garnishments, they'll even seize your home or business. The good news? A government program for tax debt forgiveness. It's called the Fresh Start Initiative.
I'm Paul Sibley with U.S. Tax Shield. We can help navigate the new laws, get you protected, and resolve your tax issues permanently.
Call the experts at U.S. Tax Shield now for your free consultation and get a guaranteed quote to resolve your case. Call 800-436-6451. That's 800-436-6451.
Hi, this is Steve Spillum for Midas Resources. In 1971, President Nixon took the United States off the gold standard and put us into a fiat currency. This allowed Congress and the Federal Reserve to create trillions of dollars out of thin air. The national debt has risen to incredible heights, and your hard-earned dollars buy a small fraction of what they once did. The average life expectancy for a fiat currency is 27 years. The dollar is failing and on borrowed time. When currencies fall, people turn to gold and silver because gold and silver have been real money for more than 5,000 years. It is our mission at Midas Resources to help you preserve your capital. Don't let your personal savings shrink to nothing. For important free information on how you can protect your personal wealth, contact me, Steve Spillum, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 308. Call today while we are still accepting dollars for gold and silver. 1-800-686-2237, extension 308. Make a change in your financial security today. That's 1-800-686-2237, extension 308.